keeps you laughing with all the jokes.
It's JV.
Keeps it real around all your folks.
It's JV.
You've been looking and what do you know? Congrats, you tapped into the Javon Show. Who keeps you laughing with all the jokes?
It's JV.
Keeps it real around all your folks.
It's JV.
No matter the outlook, will give you some hope. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Javon Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Javon Show. I am your host, Javon, and on this new edition, we have an amazing young lady that's going to come and share with us where she's been and what she's been up to and what she's about to do. Real quick, before we get started, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Anaisha Thompson, one of the producers of the Javon Show. Big shout out to Dr. T.L. Holmes. Big shout out to Clarence Jedi Evans, who did our new intro. I love the song, and it's not even an ego thing. I just love hearing my name. I love hearing my name so much that I even name people my name just so I can keep hearing my name. That's Siobhan, Javon Jr., and Vaughn Trinity. Who does that? Javon from the Javon Show does that. Now, looks like other people love the intro too. Thank you, Dr. Thompson. She loved the intro. And you know what? I received that applause. Yes, I received that applause. So we're going to have a great time today. And we're going to have a great time because we have an amazing guest today. Who is the guest, you ask? Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring her on now because I'm so excited. I've been so excited leading up to today because she is an amazing gift. And that gift is in the package of Lala Crump. Good morning, Lala.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, my God. You look so fat.
Stop. Is this better?
You look amazing. You are in perfect frame. Everything is fantastic. It is truly a pleasure to see you, Lala.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Now, we're going to start the show like we start all the shows, but we're going to get this through this part real quick. Who is Lala Crump?
Who is she? Wow. her name is Kenitris Lachelle Crump. I became Lala a few years ago after the Listeners Lounge, the Indie Rock Lounge, assistant Pastor Key, assistant artist in the gospel industry. But I am 43, two kids, 24 and 22. I love music. I love serving people. Music is therapy for me. I've been through a lot. I need to be writing a book on the journey that I've had. But that's Lala. Lala is always in work mode. No really personal life. I just serve people. That's Lala.
That is Lala. Lala, you and I met, I want to say, 2015 Stellar Awards, maybe?
I think so. Yes. Through TL, right?
Yep, right. Through Dr. Holmes. And I was just moving into Atlanta, and you were in on the East Coast, as you're always been on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. I was in Charlotte.
And I've had the pleasure of even hosting one of your events as an MC, walking around with the microphone, asking questions.
Absolutely.
Have attended your events, have always loved you. And then you were gone. So I want to start my conversation with what you were doing, why the pause, and what you're going to be coming up to doing. So Okay. Let's start with the beginning. How did you get started in the music industry?
Well, at the age of 16, my dad is in the industry, and he's also a minister of music at the church. So at the age of 16, we did a live recording. At this live recording, a couple of industry labels came to see our church choir. As they were coming to see our church choir, my godmother was there as well and opened up for the live recording. Nevertheless, to say that the choir and my godmother got signed to the label. My godmother, I did a song on the record, live recording, so I do sing as well. I did a song on the live recording. My godmother did a solo project. Her second project, they wanted background. When they wanted background, of course, I'm still in high school, but my dad is the keyboard player, my brother's the drummer. So it's like, pull Lachelle. Lachelle can sing all parts. Let's pull Lachelle. So I pulled, they pulled me, and then I pulled more background singers. So when I was in high school, I was signed to a record company, and I went to everything from the GMWA to Pastor Key's conference. I mean, it was so many different avenues back then. Quartet was definitely in our family DNA. So from choir to quartet, my dad played for Willis Pittman. He played for the Carolina Spirituals. He played for so many artists as well. So when I graduated, I still was signed to the label and began to work hands-on. I got promoted to vice president of the label. I was working in like radio sales. So I did the radio mail outs. I was contacting stations. I was doing interviews. So from there, I went to vice president. When I went to vice president of the record company, I learned all the entities of how to become or run a label behind the scenes versus us looking to see the success stories of all the artists. After that, I worked there for about 6 to 7 years. And then I turned in my resume. When I turned in my release letter, I started an artist consulting company. Then I moved to Charlotte and started working. I went to Pastor Key's church for a whole entire year before I started working with him. It was so weird that I saw his praise and worship leader at a conference and he saw me teaching. And he was like, "Do I know you?" And I was like, "I don't think so." He was like, "I know you. Do you go to my church?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've been going to your church for a whole year." He was like, "He know you?" And I was like, "I don't think so." I said, "I go there, but I don't think so." Because every Sunday, it'll be lines and lines for people to go hug him and embrace him, not only from the church members, from visitors that came into Charlotte, North Carolina. So I never got into that because, again, when I moved to Charlotte, I wanted to go to his church for him to be my pastor, not for him to be John P. Key. So I was cool in the background, and I needed a break from everything that we have been doing and the kids and all of that stuff. So I sat in the audience and Pastor Key called me one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, "Come to the church." I said, 4 o'clock in the morning? I was like, "My kid's in the bed." He said, "Well, how quick can you get here?" I said, "About 20 minutes. He hung up the phone. So they called me back. The staff members called me back and was like, "Well, that means that you need to be here." And I was like, 4 o'clock in the morning? She said, "He'll have you back before the kids go to school." So that's how I got like,
wait. What did he need at 4 o'clock in the morning?
That's when he had his meetings. I've been there since 2010 and we've probably had 2 daytime meetings. Every meeting is after midnight. And I'm talking about, and they could last to noon the next day.
What if they talk about it? 4 o'clock in the morning.
If you follow him on Instagram, he's wide open from 12 to 8 in the morning. Look at his Instagram. Look how he posts. Look how he interacts with people. He would have me in the last 10 years. I've called and booked comedians, artists, band members, 2, 3 o'clock. I'm on Facebook like, "Yo, can y'all wake up y'all friends? I need such and such. I need this." That's how he did it. Wow. And I went there and I've been on his staff ever since.
That 4 o'clock in the morning call.
Absolutely. So what happened with what I do with the indie rock stuff, we would go to Stella's. We would go to Stella's every week, every year, and we would never see platforms for the independent. Even on the Stella ballot, there's no award for new emerging artists or independent artists coming out or somebody that has broke. This was before the Zaccardis. And I mind you, I've been doing this for about 29 years. I'm 43.
You've been doing this for almost 30 years and yes. You're 43 years old.
Yes. Yeah, I got in it early. The Keith Wonder Boys, I ran with Keith. Darrell, Doc McKenzie, that's my era, way back. I'm still in it now, but that's my era. That's where I learned how to grind. We didn't even have social media.
Right.
We only had MySpace. back then. And then that came years later, MySpace, and we were able to introduce some of the music on our profiles and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm an old cat.
And I guess that's back the day when radio was really the way.
Oh, it was.
So,
how mail outs, huh?
Well, because, you know, I'm a 90s kid, but mm-hmm. I think that the only way I got introduced to music besides being at church was through radio. So yeah.
Radio was so big back then. Hold on, I want to share this real quick.
Yeah, do your thing. And while we're doing that, I wanted to give a, you know what, we mentioned Dr. Holmes, but we did not mention the person who introduced me to Dr. Holmes, and I think was the reason why all these connections happened. And he's right. Chris Jackson,
absolutely.
It was him.
He
said, Javon Martin, y'all, he was my friend first. That's true. I met Chris. Chris introduced me to TL and to you, and that's how that connection came about. So shout out to Chris Jackson.
That's right. Shout out to him. I love him dearly. Like, you can't have a better friend than Chris Jackson.
He's a really good guy. And I've been trying to get him to manage me for 15 years, but we're not going to talk about that. I've been trying to get everybody to manage me for 15 years. Chris said we used to have to mail out directly to the radio station.
That's right. We used to sit at the board table or a kitchen table and just come up with a list. Like, so I still have database. I still have my spreadsheets from back then. And I'm talking about hundreds of stations. So what we would do is put it in a spreadsheet and you would have the name of the station, the call letters, the city and state the stations was in, email address, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm. And you would mark when the gospel shows came on. Because a lot of times, sometimes it would just be Sunday, or somebody would have a Saturday show that was very popular. Or the station played the record Monday through Friday. So it was a lot of more work then. It's less stations now, but there's still people that play gospel music. There's still relevant stations out here. It's just not as many. All the AM stations that was popping, they were never BDS monitored, but they were relevant and they kept gospel music going. Quartet is the only genre that can work weekend to weekend with no radio.
Which is, why did you get into quartet? Because you said that your first recording was the live recording with the choir.
Right.
What transitioned you to quartet music? Because I haven't been able to quartet music at all ever.
My daddy is a quartet baby. My dad, I'm telling you, from the Cantons to the Jackson Souvenirs to Willie Neal to Tommy Ellison to Willie Banks, like, it's right down in here.
Wow. I did a tour with Canton Spirituals, did a tour with Jackson Southern Airs. I forget some of the other quartets, but it was like, you know, I would be there and I would be watching the women at these quartet concerts. I have never been to a gospel concert where panties flew on the stage.
Those are the ones that spend the money.
I was like, those are old woman draws.
Oh, wow. Yes, it still happens today on certain artists. It still happens today. Real big now in the Southern Soul, R&B, all of that. But yeah, it happens in gospel too. Trust me.
Have you ever thrown your panties on the stage, Lala? Be honest.
I have not. You know what? I haven't. I have been.
Did you have to think about it? Wait a minute. Did you have to think about it, Lala?
I didn't have to think about it. I haven't. But what I want to say is I've definitely been excited. But I became unstarstruck years ago. I feel like a lot of artists, we're all in the same boat. We're serving. God has gave us ministry to serve through music to get to people. A lot of people that come to the shows don't go to church on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that you get to minister to or be in front of, entertain, they don't get what we grew up with, structure of a church. They don't get that. So I became unstarstruck about meeting people. I went on tour with Pastor Key for years, and it would be nothing for us to go to a church and Jamie Foxx there, Denzel Washington. I've met a lot of people. Snoop Dogg. I met a lot of people through traveling with them, and they're like us. They're human, and they're excited about music just like us. So no, I've never thrown my panties that way.
You
let me meet P. Diddy. That's always been my idol, to be on his team.
Yeah.
I've always had a thing of, okay, I think he got it together. And when he just kept producing and kept laying out different platforms with the Revolt and all of this stuff, the conferences, the workshops, the panels now, that was me. I was like, oh my God, I would love to work for him one day.
And now,
so I might get stuck trying to say, hello, how you doing? I'm Lala, if I ever meet P. Diddy.
He should be so lucky to work with you, to be on your team, because you're the one in the gospel industry that the indies go to. I remember, talking about that starstruck moment, I remember the moment I got unstarstruck, right? I had been going to the gospel, like the Stellar Wars, and again, I didn't start really, because I grew up in church, and I was in church all the time, and listening to the music in Chicago, WGCI on Sunday mornings, and AM station during the week. And I was loving gospel music. Mm-hmm. And I remember being able to go to a choir rehearsal because our minister of music was the assistant director for Ricky Dillard, Larry Jones.
Okay.
So, Larry would have all these people come to our church and I would just be like, oh, wow, wow, wow. And I stayed wow because I was at the age of wow, that's Ricky, that's Mark Hubbard, that's Donna Lawrence. Oh my God, that's the Clark sister. It was just so awe. But then I got to the Stellars, and I was in awe for a long time until I got to the Stellars. And I was in a Walmart, walking through Walmart, and ran into Kirk Franklin. And I thought I was going to melt because that was Kirk freaking Franklin. And he was like, hey, what's up? And I was like, Kirk talked to me. And then, so, you know, I'm like wandering the Walmart now, like, wow, I talked to Kirk Franklin. And then I saw him like three more times in that Walmart. I'm going to get to this story real fast. Fast forward, the next year, I saw Kirk at another event and he walked up to me. He was like, hey, from Walmart. And I said,
wow,
ain't no way. And we had a conversation and it was in that moment where I was like, oh, Kirk is like me.
They are. They're good people. They're just farther than a lot of us. And again, they deal with the same struggles that we deal with behind closed doors of this industry that people don't see.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot to make things happen. It takes, you go through ups, downs, ins and outs. Like, my story has been so different. It's been so unique. I've never had competition in my blood, competitiveness. It's a lot of people that do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that do what I do. And I celebrate them. And as a female doing this, because this is a male industry, I celebrate all the females that have taken the lead to even create a platform or serve others. I do.
It takes a lot to serve people, and it takes a lot to serve John P. Key. We had a question from one of our listeners. They wanted to know why John P. Key never returned her phone calls. Can you explain when you get a question, why you did not return Deborah Martin's phone calls? She wants to know, and I believe she deserves an answer.
I don't know, but I get that all the time. A lot of people call me and be like, whenever you get him on the phone, you just call me back on three-way, or when you get next to him, just FaceTime me, please. Just FaceTime me, please. So when I first started there, we were on Androids.
Mm.
They got iPhones before I did. So whenever he saw that my text message turned blue instead of green, he's never dialed my number again. It is always a FaceTime and it is always 3, 4, 5. If y'all go down my timeline, or sometimes I'll share the old memories, I'll be like, who had me up at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to book comedians or trying to call people? John P. Key. John P. Key works after midnight. And he always tells me, you can't sleep. You sleep after success. So a lot of times I'm just 24 hours available to people that know who I am, or people that, you know, call me, or people that have questions. If it's 2-3, I'm going to answer my phone.
So I'm going to get into that in a second. I want to hit some of these stuff because people are just, so I think we talked about Mr. Collins. Oop, you cute sis come through because you are beautiful this morning. Miss Woodhouse, thank you for watching us from El Paso. Miss Garrison, thank you so much for watching us this morning. We appreciate it. We also have going through, oh man, I love the name, Jay Vaughn. Come on through, Jay Vaughn, on the Javon Show. Lala commanded you. She's already turned me down. Who else do we have on here? Candace. Hello to you, Candace. It's so good to see you this morning. And everybody knows Chris. Everybody knows Chris.
Hello to everybody. Thank you guys for joining. Y'all share this live. We definitely got to build this show. Yeah. I can't wait. I hope Javon is coming back to Stella's, but we're going to talk about that too.
We're going to talk about that too. let's see. And then we also have J.R. Devontae Richardson. Just wanted to come in and say good morning. Good morning, sir. Good to see you, Junior. J.R., whichever one you go by. Thank you so much. And so how does working for John P. Key affect the family of Lala Crump? How does it affect your impact to parent, your impact to date? What has that been like for Lala?
Dating is not in the picture. I haven't dated since 2013.
You know, it's 2023, right?
Yeah, it's 2023. I understand. I haven't entertained no one. I haven't dated. I haven't been out. I haven't been asked to go out. I've just really focused on my career, my children, and my family. When I was coming up through this industry, I had my first daughter. Graduated one Friday. I had my daughter the next. So my oldest daughter has been through this whole entire 24 years in this industry with me. A lot of times my parents was with me at the early age. And then, you know, when I branched off and went to Charlotte, when I went on tour with him 2-3 weeks at a time, they would come to Charlotte and stay with my kids, make sure they went to school and all of that good stuff. So I really had a really good support system when it came to my family. Now that we're 20 something years in, they have their own lives. They've graduated from high school. They went to college, graduated, and now they're both in the workforce. My baby girl is more attached to what I do and interested in what I do than my oldest daughter.
And how old are they? They're 24 and...
24 and 22. Yep. 22.
Was it worth the sacrifice?
Yes. Every bit. I would do it again. I would do it with them. My oldest daughter is amazing. She has the ear like me. She can sing. My baby girl can sing as well. But my oldest daughter is pitch perfect. Hmm. And when I say she can sing. And I told her I invested a lot of learning this because I need her to give me at least an EP before I leave this world. But yes, I would do it all over again. So personal life, I haven't had one.
Is she interested in doing anything?
She was, but I don't think not now. Yeah, she said I kept her in it too much. She was like, you drag me to all them shows and all them conferences and stuff. So, no. She was like, no. I'm going to let her get her time. Her friends encourage her because they hear her. She can be around the house, or she may do a video on Instagram or something like that. She is a vocally amazing. And some of my friends know that she can sing. Like, she can sing. But she tells me no at this point.
I wonder if she would be interested in doing, like, backgrounds with the collective or something. Like, she just
mentioned to me about a week ago, Mama, you think I can sing background for King George? Now, I did say that, but that ain't no gospel artist. It's the soul artists that sing quartet and sing about love and sex and women. So yes, she did say that, but no, she ain't interested.
So okay, no dates, no hookups in 10 years.
No, sir. I think it's because I don't know what it is. Keith Wonderboy Johnson used to tell me all the time. I think Lala, they want to ask you, but they're intimidated. I'd be like, why do I intimidate them? He was like, because you just so. And I can turn a regular conversation straight into business like that. Like, I don't know how to turn it off. So it's probably me. It's my fault.
I get you. First of all, Mr. Collins, stay together. Yes, I said hookups. I knew exactly what I was asking, and she knew what I was asking, and you see how she avoided my whole question, and that's fine.
Wait. What'd you say? I missed it.
I'm trying to figure out how a woman of your caliber, watch yourself, Jermaine, you got in trouble with this with Pastor Sheard. You know what? Moving on. So, we're going to get to all the books, but we're also going to find some hookups for you some connections for you. So if you want to date Lala, make sure you call 1-800-DATE-LAL because that's the right number of letters to do. 1-800-DATE-LAL. And we're going to figure out a way to get you connected with Lala because Lala needs a friend. So there has been no Tinder. What is it called? Farmers Only or publicist only.com or.
You know what goes through the back of my head when people say that? Because a few people know that I don't date or, you know, I don't entertain or I don't go out. They'd be like, well, why don't you just go online? Somebody told me that about a month ago. Like, it's a Facebook dating now. La. You know what the first thing goes through my head?
What?
Somebody will send my profile to John P. Key, and he is going to have me on Instagram just to show his my name on my crump. You hear me?
So then he needs to find you a good quartet brother. And yes, I understand that they got to go through your brothers. How many brothers do you have?
I have one brother.
And I'm guessing, so Marcus is saying all the brothers in the industry. I'm sure he's considering himself a brother. I'm a brother.
Now, in the industry, yes, I do. I have solid friends. Solid relationships that I mean for years in this industry. So I'm excited about that because a lot of people can't keep that going.
Right.
And we have done that. Even if we don't talk every day, when me and you talk, whether it's 2-3 times a year, is we just go back to the first time or just go back to when we hung out or we just go back to a situation. It'd be so vibrant and exciting. Our conversation because it's just like we just never live and all of my friends don't live here. They don't live here.
So, I mean, but I'm just thinking about all the industry connections you've had. You've never had an industry person come up to you because listen, Janice is trying to go for everybody. So you've never had I just said that out loud. So you've never had an industry person be like, man, that's Lala. Let me go ahead and slide. Know nothing. And if they did slide, would you even entertain because you'd be so busy?
I don't know. Probably not.
We gotta figure something out.
I know how this industry rolls. I know what happens. I know so many situations. I don't even know if I would want to put myself into that. But I do know that the person that, you know, you do invest in has to know your language. And my language is music. My language is family. My language is serving. My language is following God's heart. So they would have to have some kind of conversation to be able to meet me where I am. So I don't know. I don't know, but I've never had it happen. I don't know why. I was larger. I've tried to lose weight for years. And after the house burning down, last year, I was so depressed and so under the covers in the bed. And I was just, I don't know. It put me in a space that I had never been out. And I had to climb my way out.
Yeah. And I'm definitely going to, I want to get into that. But we're definitely going to speak to that. But I want to lead up to the house fire.
Okay.
So let's say 1 week, 2 weeks, a month before the house fire. What was life like for Lala?
So coming down the pipeline, Clubhouse came into play as a social media outlet. Even before then, there was, I don't know if you remember that we had the Let's Talk Gospel that we did every week. Mm-hmm. Now that's 10 years because that started in 2013. We did that every Tuesday night. I did it with a lady named Miss Gwen Atkins, which is the one of the executives of the GMWA Quartet Division. So over the years, I've gone to so many quartet shows, so many choir shows, so many Stella, so many conventions. You name it, I have been there. North Carolina GAG, I served my own community, which is an organization under the GMWA, but it's in your region. So I've served on all of those different type of platforms. I've taught workshops. I've created workshops. I've hosted them. All of that. Years later, from the Let's Talk Gospel, again, it allowed us to build a lot of direct relationships with these artists before they became very, very popular. I don't know if you remember, we worked with the Walls Group before they signed the label with Kirk Franklin. Not only that, we'll talk about the people that came from the Indie Rock Lounge.
So you had so many people come from Indie Rock. Like, so many people. I met Naomi Rain through Indie Rock. I met...
Vincent Bohanna.
Yep.
Quentin Ellis. So many people. I've always been really, really heavy in quartet. So after serving Pastor Key for so many years, I did come off the road with him and began to just do things from home. I still work with him. I still serve him. I still go to the church. All of those type of good stuff. But back in, the pandemic came. So prior to the pandemic, of course, I was still doing my events every year at Stella's. Pandemic came, and I started working with a group called Roar and Revelation, which is directly quartet. So prior to the house burning down, I was working with them. The day before the house burned down, we were in the studio doing a photo shoot. It was a Sunday. The house burned down on Monday. The day the house burned down, we were on a 3-hour conference call with Roy Revelation, putting a plan together of what was next. How I got into traveling with them consistently, I opened up a t-shirt line. And I had a quartet line, I had a musician line, I had a BBW line, big girl line, a kid line. I did t-shirts, hoodies, jogging suits, letterman jackets, hats, you name it. I did that. I worked at a shop. From that shop, I created my own line. So the morning of the house burning down, I was on the Zoom call for 3 hours. I was like, listen, I haven't seen my kids. My kids were in Raleigh, and I said, I'm going to go see them and take them some pizza. So after the Zoom call, I get off the Zoom call, go get in the shower. By the time I got in the shower, the downstairs was on fire. Like, you know, me and my mom was in there, and our dog passed away in the fire because we couldn't get him out. It scared him with all the stuff. Falling and things like that. And I tried to go back in and get him. And my clothes caught on fire. I had on the robe because I had just got the shower. And again, prior to the fire, on the Zoom call, no smoke detector. We were not alerted at all. When I say at all, it was just like, you have everything set. You have a schedule. You have what you need. And then the next moment it was gone. It was gone. And that put me in a dark, dark place. It did.
So you get off your Zoom call, you go into the shower, you come out the shower.
And I was upstairs. The bathroom was upstairs, yes. I was upstairs. And I hit that top step. I could smell it. I could see it. My mother was still not aware. She was laying across her bed. Yeah, it was really, really bad. I couldn't even think straight. Like, I couldn't think of nothing to do. But when me and my mom get down the steps, she falls down. So that's why the dog ran back up the steps, because of the noise. She slipped down because she was rushing. We go through the kitchen to the carport, and she's just like, maybe we got a fire extinguisher. We did, but we could not get the pen out to make it work. So we tried that. I get her outside. I'm like, Mom, we got to move this car. The car was on the carport. So I go back in the house now. The kitchen is on fire. I go back in the house, get her keys, move her car, move the car far enough from the yard. Then I go back in the house because she is screaming about this dog. And I'm like, oh my God, let me go get my daughter's dog. Because it was my baby girl's dog. I'm like, let me go back in the house. So when I go back in the house, my clothes caught on fire. And I'm just like, I got to get out or I'm going to be gone too. So.
Was it like in the movies where you just see this sea of flames?
Yeah, it was. It was electrical fire. So it was in the walls. So that's why we were not aware. The fire chief told us that when we opened that back door, we gave it fume. Because it gave it air. Mm-hmm. So when it gave it air, that's when the bottom floor exploded. Yeah. So we had
the bottom floor exploded.
Yeah, it did. We lost everything but our last names. My car keys. I mean, it was, I was hurt. All of my machines. Everything I had was in the house.
Computers, your documents.
Yes, I'm talking about equipment. My dad lost his studio. Childhood stuff that we had from when we were singing for the mayor in the Bahamas at 18 years old. A lot of 18-year-olds don't get to do that. Everything. Yeah, and I went into a whole shutdown mode.
When you're outside the house and you're watching the house go up in flames, are you realizing in that moment, like, wow, this is my entire life? Or yes. Was it a situation where it was much, much later on? So it was in that moment.
It was in that moment to have to call my kids to tell them to come after I was just coming to them. Like, it was just a phone call away. I'm just coming to them. Now I'm calling them back, telling them the house is on fire. My client, same thing. I called Roy back. I'm like, do you know the house is on fire? Like, I was screaming, crying, trying to get my mom together. It was a lot on me. And this is not our first house fire. This is our second one.
Same house?
Our house burned down in 87 when my brother was 6 and 8 years old. So this is my parents' second house fire on that same property. We still haven't rebuilt. It's just been a lot. It's been a lot. Since then, my dad found out he had cancer. It's been a lot. I definitely try, or what sustained me of coming out of my darkness, again, is serving others. I truly went on the road, and music and being gone every weekend, during the week, out the week, has helped me heal from where I was.
When you had the house fire and you realized, you know, I'm guessing no insurance, right?
No, we had insurance.
You didn't have insurance for that. Mm-hmm. So
it's been a long, long time to kick in. But it also showed me during the house fire who my friends were. Because a lot of people that I know for years did not reach out to me.
And that was my question. So you let it be known that you reached out to people for assistance after the fire, after mm-hmm. all these years of serving and helping others. And you reached out. And what was the response from people?
Nothing.
Just
some of them I still haven't heard from. And it wasn't about the money. It was just about our relationship and just the encouragement from people that I have worked with over the years.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. It has been a tremendous process to even get here today. I'm still not there today.
So we talked about that dark place, Lala, though. So help us understand exactly where you were. So when the house burns down, now you need a place to live. Where do you live?
Well, I went with my daughter. My parents live in my grandmother's house. My grandmother had passed, so her house was vacant, but it wasn't livable. So my dad is a flipper houser. He works for Chatham County School. So he's just an all-in guy. He do everything from electricity to laying floors to wall. He do everything. So he had to get my grandmother's house up to par for them to be able to stay in. I stayed with my daughter until I was able to get an apartment. I do have an apartment and with nothing in it. The only thing I have is a bed. That's it. And TV.
And
I wasn't a TV watcher. Mm-hmm. I've never watched TV until now. And it's only because I'm not around my parents. I'm an hour and something away where the apartment is. And I'm just in this apartment. And when I leave, I go on the road, I come back, I leave, I go on the road, and I come back.
What was the reason for being in the dark place? Because it seemed like you had your family, you had a place to live. What? And I know that the people not responding to you just to make themselves, I guess, present for you. Is that what caused you to get into that dark place?
I don't know. I think so. And again, I think the memories of everything that we had done in the industry as a family, my godmother's situation of her creating a platform for us to be able to go on the road and learn this industry and do music. Music is, again, in our DNA. It is our lifeline. Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle for us. My cousin that I grew up with, same street, same school, same church, same record company. We all got signed at the same time. He now plays lead guitar very, very professionally. Anthony Hamilton, he's on the road with a guy named Bill. I can't even think of his last name now, but he has played for everybody, everybody. Like, we've all been successful in the music game.
But it's
so.
How do you want to continue in that music game, though, and continue helping people when in your moment of greatest need, you weren't able to have somebody there to provide assistance for you?
It's just who I am. It's beyond that for me. I had to get over it. I had to, again, realize who my friends were, who respected me, and who loved me beyond what I could do for them. Because you'll fall into that. They only call you when they need something. Not to just call and say, hello, how you doing? Check on you, holidays, whatever the case. And again, the list is so huge because we've met so many people over the last 10 to 15 years in this music industry, in life, in church, whatever the case, conventions, network. You got new people coming up where in our generation, everything was established and set. It was hard to get out of one position and go to another. It was hard for another person to take the position that people have held down for 10, 20 years. So we got all these upcoming emerging industry execs and artists now that are creating different platforms because guess what? They couldn't get into those established platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it hurt and it took me a couple of months to get past it, trust me. But the person that I am, the person that my parents raised, I let it go.
And so you picked yourself up. What was that moment that you remember where you said, I don't want to continue to stay in this place that I'm in? It's time for me to get back.
It was a sad day. Trust me, I cried probably all day long. And I was praying, and I knew that God had something on my life that I needed to see out. So I'm just like, okay, that's from the weight loss. That's from my mindset changing, changing how I run my life, how I structure my situation. All of that came in that moment. And this is what you got today.
And what we have today is Lala. The Lala that we had, do you feel like you're fully recovered back to that Lala where you were before the fire?
No, of course not. I was doing so much. I used to have events 3-4 times a year. Mm-mm, I haven't. I'm not there. I want to be there. Last year, of course, the Stellas went to Atlanta. Everybody's pushing me to do my event, I was dark that day. I cried the whole day at the event. Mm-hmm. Mr. Collins, all the Stan Jones, Benita Bellerin, Catherine, Gerard, like they came. I cried all. First of all, it was my birthday. It was on my birthday, and at the panel, at the showcase, I was so emotional because I was so weighted and overwhelmed. I was so heavy. I was so heavy last year. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. But it was still a success.
It was. We had a great time. We heard some amazing artists, some new artists. We heard some amazing people. And the panel just, we almost couldn't stop the panel. It was so good. The panel was great last year. So I'm looking forward to July this year. It is my birthday again. So I kind of want to have a celebration that night because the people that are in the industry are the people that I know. So I really want to have a live band and just enjoy each other. Like, again, we only get to see some of these people once a year during Stellar Award Week. So I want all of us to fellowship and be together. So I'm going to try to put something together and make it happen.
Looks like Mr. Collins is planning it. That's what it looks like.
He's planning it because I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go too. It's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate Lala Crump.
It is.
So now that
we're better, I have a little more energy.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to get back to Lala.
And we can't wait for you to get back to Lala. And what does getting back to Lala mean for the industry? What does Lala have coming up for us?
Ooh-wee. A couple of things. I thought about going back on radio. I've had about 3 people ask me to come be a part of their stations, the creator show. Of course, in July, we're going to go back to Vegas and do the Indie Rock Lounge. I'm partnering with Marquise Collins, and I'm getting a good response from that as well. What else?
What do you need me to do for that again? What is my
You gonna host it? You gonna host the panel?
Okay, I'm hosting the panel.
If you're coming, you know we putting you to work.
With no arms.
If you're coming, we putting you to work. You already know that.
You already know I'm coming because I got to be there for the panel. I got to be there for the after party. And then after the party is the after party. So I'm going to be there for all of it. If we're celebrating Lala, you better believe that the Javon show will be in the building.
That's right. So many people have reached out to ask me if I was going to have it. Just because of the pattern. I'm still doing promotions and marketing as well. But I'm excited to just be around people and celebrate their success in music. I really am. I work with a really, really good group right now, and we argue, we fuss, we get into it, but that's growth. It all happens for a success story, and at the end of the night, I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world.
Are you mainly still working with the Quartets and Pastor Key?
I am. Those are my 2 main artists right now. Roy and Revelation, and they're from Hopkins, South Carolina. If you don't know nothing about them, get to know them. They have a really good single out called I Still Got Joy. Pull together. They have a new album that released last year called The Book of Revelation. So we're doing a lot with them. Yeah. Pastor Key is still Pastor Key. He's torn. He's still getting his stuff together as well. He's bringing back VIP.
Really?
So we're going to have that in July. It's the last weekend in July. So you guys gear up for that. I'll be posting and sharing the plan for that week as well. But I think we're going to do 3 days.
Nice. I'll come and host that too. That's fine. Since he's always trying to bring in comedians. I'm not a comedian, but I think I'm funny. So, you know what? I'll host anything.
Come on. You know you're welcome.
You're welcome me. So... that was really good pull, Javon. Yeah, that was a good pull. What's this Yolanda Adams concert going on?
So Macon, Georgia. Some of my friends in the South Carolina and Georgia area are having a night of praise. It's Middle Georgia Night of Praise. Yolanda Adams, Lee Andrea Johnson, William Murphy, and Roy and Revelation. So the tickets are on sale right now. It's going to be at the Macon Auditorium. So you guys are welcome to come and be a part of that.
There's a huge event.
It is.
In Macon, Georgia.
Macon, Georgia. Yep. It's going to be April the 29th. We're also April 29th that morning doing a luncheon to celebrate Key Point of Johnson in Atlanta. So we're going to be two places that day. We'll be in Atlanta at 1 o'clock, where we're going to be in Macon that night for the Lonnie Adams concert. I'm excited about that as well. I've seen, of course, Leandria and William, but I haven't seen Yolanda in years.
Yeah, she ain't done it in 20 years. So can I catch a ride from Atlanta to Macon? Can I just like get in the back seat or hold the luggage?
Come on.
Because, I mean,
I'm actually working stage, so I'm the stage production manager for that concert. And my artist is performing, so I got double duty that day.
Yeah, you need an assistant. And in fact, you know what? I just checked my...
You're free?
And I'm free. I'm free to be Lala's assistant for that day. I'm the LL.
Okay.
Yeah, LLA. So that's some fantastic stuff that you've got going on. And it's so great to see you. This whole massive weight loss that you went through, I mean, since we talked about everything else and we're not going to act like people don't notice it, what has that been like for you? How do you feel? How are you right now?
Well, you know, I'm so used to wearing long hair. When I went to short hair, I was like, I don't want nothing on my neck. So when I went to short hair, my cousin does my hair. So people are like, you get your hair done all the time. No, I just run to my cousin's house and my cousin does my hair. Sometimes it's free. Trust me, we have a great relationship. He's been doing my hair for about 15 years. And he's down the street. So like, I don't sleep in no bonnet. I don't wrap no hair up. I'll just go over there and say, hey, you got to fix this. Something happened. If he want to play in hair, he plays with me. If he wants to try a color, he tries it on me. Like, but when I went to short hair, yes, everybody saw the weight loss. Everybody saw. When my mother told me that she was proud of me because she knows my struggle with weight loss, I wanted to have the surgery probably 10, 15 years ago. She was, no, you're not having no surgery. I've tried in the past, diet shakes, it just didn't work for me. Again, after that house fire and changing my mindset of how I eat, what I put in my body, I knew I wanted to live to see my kids have kids, and I needed to change. And that's what I did. And I did not have no surgery. I don't wear no waist trainer. I haven't been to the gym. I need to go because I'm getting flabby. But at the end of the night, it was my portion change and what intake of food that I put in my body. That was it. Totally it. Instead of eating a whole plate, I break a plate down in three different meals.
Wow. So you're not starving yourself. You're not in the bathroom. Of course not.
Nice change. Now, I have to remind myself sometimes to eat because I'm not hungry anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, and I have to eat what I have a taste for, or I won't eat. My go-to is a bowl of cereal, Frosted Flakes.
Oh my God. Isn't Frosted Flakes just the perfect cereal?
That's my go-to. If I realize I haven't ate anything, or I can't figure out what I want to eat, because if I don't eat what I want, I'm gonna mess over it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just settle for a bowl of cereal.
It's like manna from heaven. And yeah. I put ice cubes in my cereal because I like the milk real cold. I need it just cold when I dip into it.
I haven't done that, but... Ooh,
let me give you one more, too. I'm about to bless your whole life right now. Cut up a banana.
No, I've done that.
Put it in the Frosted Flakes. Ain't it the greatest?
Yeah, I've done that.
It's like,
I haven't done the ice cubes. I have to try that.
Try the ice cube with the banana and the Frosted Flakes. And some people say, just get banana nut flakes. It's not the same. Banana nut crunch is an amazing cereal as well, but it's not as sweet. It's not sweet enough.
Correct.
But that Frosted Flakes with a banana cut up in it, it changes lifestyles.
Wow.
It'll bring you whole to a different place in life. It's great to see you, Lala.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I have enjoyed this.
This has been
amazing. I don't get to tell my story much, and people don't ask me. I don't just freely share what's going on, but again, I'm excited about becoming Lala again.
Yeah.
I'm pushing her. Kenetra's is pushing her to be Lala.
Yeah. And Collins, yes, I did recognize that your belly is spreading. You need to get that together. So this is this has been an amazing show. I got to give one good dig into Collins, which is always necessary for every show. I've got to get him at least one good.
I love him so much.
Yeah, Thorn Ridge. It's what we do. So before we go, for people who want to get in contact with you, for people who want to bless your life, how do they reach Lala Crump?
I'm on all social media at Lachelle Lala Crump, at Lachelle715. If you just do the at, I'm on Twitter. I went back on Twitter. Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. I don't really know how to work Snapchat. All I know how to do is post a picture. So I don't get to see no stories and check my inbox. I do know how to do that. That's it. But I'm not Snapchat savvy. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, of course.
You're not TikToking?
I'm on TikTok. And I've posted a couple of things on TikTok. I have one video on TikTok that got 37,000 views. And I got excited about that number, but I'm not on there every day, though.
Mm-hmm. That's good numbers.
Yeah. One video did that. So, yes.
Nice. I'm going to have to go check out that video. Mm-hmm. There is a program that's happening today on Instagram. It's at 1 o'clock Central, which is 2 o'clock your time. It's called You Insane. It's going to be me, Marquise Jelks, and Leah Brody from the Good Judy podcast. It's called Are You Insane? Because we're asking the question, are you insane? And the premise is we want to just talk about those things that have been happening in the world where we're like, hey, are you insane? Have you come across any are you insane moments where you just had to look around and be like,
probably had a few. My journey is definitely a book, mm-hmm. a documentary or something, because it's just been so different.
I write documentaries too.
Yeah, it's just been so different. Mr. Jelks is actually hosting my showcase as well as Algin. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay. So all three of you guys are going to be working together. I got to find one female. Because I don't like to put you guys in a position where you just feel like you just got to stay up there at the mic. So I kind of get three or four hosts so you can kind of switch up today and be able to network and get the fellowship with all the artists as well. Because some of you guys do interviews and stuff like that. So I definitely want to invite everybody to the Indie Rock Lounge happening in Vegas on July the 14th. Location is still to be, I'm trying to confirm the church. The lady that books the church is out of town, so she told me she would call me as soon as she get back. But it will be in Las Vegas on July the 14th. My birthday is the 15th. Ooh. Trying to figure out if we're doing Friday night or we're going to do Saturday after the Stellar Awards. But I would love for each and every one of you artists to come through. We have such an amazing day. At this event, we're going to do a listening party. We're going to do an industry panel, and some of the artists will be performing live. I'm really getting away from this showcase word. I do invite heavy industry executives, well-known industry executives to this platform so they are able to hear you, discover you, and find out who you are. So I would love for you guys, even if you can't perform, if you can't participate, just stop through because the people be in that room.
And they be in the room all day. Yes, they be coming just in and out. I remember one showcase where there was this guy, and then we gonna end soon. I promise we've been going for an hour. But there was the one I will never forget. It's the one where I met Naomi, the one where Quentin. It was this man on stage, and he had on these shoes with wings on them. I still have the video of that man on that stage with his shoes that had wings.
Wow. I think I remember that.
I still look at that video sometimes as it cracked me up. Yeah. And they were up there getting it too. So the Indie Lounge is an amazing an amazing place to go to just discover new talent. And you know what? That's what we're here to do. Promote the independent artists. Yes. Give them a platform and a, I know we don't use showcase, but a showcase. Let them showcase their gifts, talents, and abilities for the world to see. So I look forward to being in Vegas with Mr. Jelks and Aldrin, and we're going to just have a great time.
We're going to have a good time. The guest list is growing. I told you, people are just calling me, Lala, you doing your event? I'm thinking about it. Put me on the list. Like, so I'm from my industry executives have called me and want to be there. There's Kenton Jones is going to be there. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be real crazy. I'm waiting for the ballot to drop. I got three major artists in mind that I want to get in that room. Of course, Naomi is definitely one because, again, that's where she came from. Mm-hmm. And I want her to share that story with her and Rebecca. Remember Rebecca was her manager?
I remember Rebecca.
I want her to share that on that panel. So we're working really, really hard to make sure that she's not in rehearsal because they, of course, are performing on the main stage at the time that I need her. So that's going to be coming out as well.
And before we go, I would be remiss if I didn't give you a little bit of time to talk about your friend, someone who you love dearly, Keith Wonderboy Johnson, who recently, I know it's not as recently now, but can you just give us just a little bit of insight into you all's relationship and what he meant to you?
A lot. when I started at 14, I met him at 16, and we had been friends from day one. He's my kid's godfather. I talked to Keith about every day until we got in an argument. We got in an argument. We would take a break for 2-3 days, and then we would just talk again. But I had the pleasure of working side by side with him for many, many, many years. When he branched off from his record company and started his own label, I was really behind the scenes working very, very hard for Timeless Music Group. I love Keith. Keith brought a different flavor to what I do. He pushed me a lot. When I say he pushed me a lot, he would introduce me to so many people. One year he came to the Stellas. Of course, you guys know he would always do my panel and be at my events, but he came and he got booked at the last minute for the day the taping was. He gave me his seats, and I promise you, I was sitting next to so many stars that weren't even gospel. I think I was on the fourth row from the front row, and it was just amazing. He was really good to me and my family. He always stepped in when we had death in our family. And they didn't even want to use the choir. They'd be like, can you call Keith? Can you call Keith? So he sung at my grandmother's funeral. He sung at my mom's brother's funeral. He was very instrumental in my family. And I loved him dearly. I miss him so much. I miss his jokes. I miss him asking me all these industry questions and me and him trying to figure it out. Because he was a go-getter. He really was. And if he wanted to do it, he was going to do it. And he was going to figure it out.
So I appreciate you sharing that. And I knew the relationship that you guys had, so I wanted to make sure that we had that opportunity just to kind of share the show. Lala, it's been a pleasure. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing the Javon Show.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for all of you guys tuning in, and we're going to be sharing this. So
yes, check we will. Out. Yes, we will. And reels and clips and shorts and all that good stuff. Yes. So I'll be on the lookout. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Lala Crump. Thank you to all of you all for staying with us throughout the show. Looking forward to you all coming on the next show. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. God bless. Get a little bit-